This is Average Advice. I'm Zar.
And I'm Tim. Average guys, average stories, average advice.
Welcome to season two, where new and exciting things are on the way.
Stay tuned and stay average.
You think we overpromised?
Nah.
Sometimes when I like finish this, like doing this episode, I just have that in the back of my head going, average, average. Welcome back to another episode.
Never overpromising, always average. Oh. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Tim. And we've got my special guest, Sean, on the show. Sean is my hairdresser. Met him through Yasmin when she was doing hairdressing apprenticeship. and I had never had a hairdresser before.
Having
and
your own Sean, personal hairdresser.
Oh, yeah. Sean took care of me. So that's why I always go back to him. So, Sean, welcome on the show, man.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. Look, in case you haven't noticed, I don't really go to hairdressers that often anymore.
Hey, you still could. You never know. There's... You can always do something stupid.
Well, I go in there now and I'm just like, how much to you shave my head? They're like $20. I'm like, I can do that at home for free. Thanks. No, thanks.
Yeah, that's true. I recommend a good machine for you.
Sean, if you want to give a little plug, you can for your business. We'd love to share people's businesses. People spread the love.
Spread the love and the money.
Yeah. Thank you. So, yes, obviously, I live in Canberra. I work in Fishwick. So nice. The salon I work at is Urban Hair, but I actually rent out a chair from there. So my actual business is Sean at Urban Hair. Reason I kept it pretty simple is just to make it easier for people to find me. I thought if I was to have a completely different name to the actual salon, I was a little bit worried people would be confused, searching for a big sign.
Yeah.
Going, okay, I can't find you. So I thought, yeah, just keep it simple to start off with and just keep it Sean at Urban. Yeah. And it's worked out really well, actually. Coming up to 3 years in about 2 weeks' time.
Wow.
I'll be at there. So, yeah.
Having your own business for 3 years is just an impressive feat, no matter what the industry, in my opinion.
Thanks. Yeah, no, it's been great. Like, to be honest, it's becoming a big thing in the hairdressing industry now, in the sense that a lot of people don't want to have all the overheads anymore. So renting a chair is actually becoming a lot easier in that sense.
So when you
do your own hours, and
when you're renting a chair, are you just like a contractor for that like salon?
Yes, yeah, okay. Pretty much. Yeah, it's probably the best way of saying, yeah, like a contractor. So, yeah.
That's interesting.
So, I just do my own hours. And as, for example, Zar, he's like my client. Yeah. So, he sees the other girls there. But when he books through me directly.
Yeah, okay. Because when I was at Hayes, I was working at Hayes in Canberra. And right around the corner, there was like, it was the Hayes cut, basically. Everyone at Hayes had the exact same haircut because everyone at Hayes always went to the same guy. And he would literally text you when he was like out of business. He'd be like, do you need a haircut? And he would text everyone on the floor and people would just disappear at random times. Yeah, he was the first one to discover that I was losing my hair. Started laughing at me, the bastard.
And
I think Zar's got plenty of hair. I think he could be a good friend and give you some.
I'll give you some. I'll stick you.
Why he needs any more help to be gorgeous, the fuck?
But yeah, Sean, I mean, and you probably know this, but like half of the job of being a hairdresser is not really in the job description so much, but half the job of being a hairdresser is being able to talk to people, which is why I wanted you on the show, because it's what you do every day, is you talk to a range of different people and all sorts of personality types. So, I mean, I'm assuming you find it easy to talk to most people, right?
100%. Like, to be honest, when I'm in the salon, I'd have to say that is my comfort zone. 100%. That's my comfort zone. Look, sometimes when I'm out and about, if I don't really know people, I can actually be a little bit of the shy type.
Right.
But look, I think that can be like related to a lot of people. Like, you know, when you've got your zone, it's so much easier. Mm-hmm. But yeah, look, I can start a conversation with a lot of people. Like, so just, you know, I don't find it too hard, because like you said, like hairdressing isn't just, the title is not just it. Like, we are like therapists to a lot of people too. A lot of people do come and vent. You know, hear a lot of stories.
It's a safe space.
Oh, I reckon
100% it is. Look, it is.
And you would overhear stories from other sides too. So I reckon it's just Gossip Central.
Oh, it definitely is. Like, the things I've heard, like, I'm coming up to, this is my 17th year of hairdressing. Oh. And, yeah, what I've heard over the years is, oh, look, we could be here all day.
Well, it's weird because I'm pretty good at speaking with basically anyone, but there's two places that I hate creating a conversation, and that's in the hairdresser's chair and in an elevator. Like, whenever when you're in a situation where you're forced to talk, where you're like, you don't have a choice, otherwise it's going to be really awkward, you know?
Well, that's why I feel like you should find a hairdresser that you like.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I do with Sean, because I feel like I rock up to the chair, he cuts my hair, we have a yarn, once every five or so weeks, and it's a good catch up, and it doesn't feel forced. It's just two mates having a chat. So.
Yeah, it's the ones that you randomly go into, like Just Cuts, and then they just start talking. They're like, "How's your day? What are you doing today?" And I'm like, "Hey, sure, just cut my hair."
You should hear Sean's opinion about Just Cuts.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
We won't go there. I'm not going to drag no other business out. We'll leave that one. But look, I completely understand what you're saying, Tim. Like, I find, when I've had a new client come in, sometimes they initiate conversation. Mm-hmm. But some don't, like, and how I sort of go is by the body language. Yep. And in that sense, I'll elaborate mobile phones, for example, someone's on their phone scrolling through, you can tell they're not really interested. Yep. Or before COVID, when we were actually allowed to provide a lot more magazines.
Mm.
And some people would honestly just have a magazine or even their own book. And they've
while
just
you're cutting their hair. Well, they're just and looking down.
It was sort of an indication for them that they were just happy to, they just want to sit there. They don't want to talk. Yeah. They just want to get their hair done, relax. And I didn't mind it because sometimes talking all day does get tiring.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. It's like an Uber driver, because it's like, I swear, being an Uber driver, you can tell if, like, there's nothing more annoying when it's a pushy Uber driver that can't take the hint that you just want them to drive and you to just sit there and listen to your music or something. And like, I've been in like back seats where I have both my earphones in, and they turn around and start talking, and then you have to take one out. You're like, "What was that?" And then they're like, "Oh, just how was your day?" And you're like, "Oh, yeah, it was good. Put it back in." And then they continue the conversation. Like, take the hint. Take the hint, please.
Well, I've been in some Uber drivers where they're talking to someone else themselves. So it's like, "Yeah, cool. All right. I'm happy not to talk to you. You just talk to whoever the hell you're talking to."
Oh, just get me home.
Maybe I'm really weird, because when I catch like an Uber by myself, I'll like sit in the front seat and chat to them.
Yeah,
and I'll be like, sometimes I know that they don't want to chat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Well, I'm in the front seat now. We're not allowed if we don't chat."
We're not allowed to sit in the front seat unless there's like a full car up here, because still with COVID.
Oh, really?
Yeah, still with COVID.
Oh.
So everyone has to be in the back seat unless you have more than three people. And then someone can
sit. So you become the back seat driver then?
Oh, yeah. I'm just like a limo service, man. That's how it should be. Take me, chauffeur.
So, Zah, what do you, when you get in the car, then I got to ask you, when you get in an Uber, do you have a set conversation for every Uber driver, or do you sort of like have something different every time?
I mean, it depends on how the conversation goes, but I mean, a lot of the time, because a lot of them are from overseas, I'll generally ask them about, you know, how they got to Australia and why they came and what their life is like and back then. And a lot of the time they'll be like, I don't know, Indian. Most of the time they are like Indian or like like that sort of area. Mm. Like, I'm not sure what you call it, like sort of, not quite Middle East, but like more of the Asia side towards East. I don't know what that area is called, but
it's a bit of a combination.
Yeah,
subcontinental Asia. I don't know. they a lot of the time love cricket, and I know a bit about cricket, so I'll just let them talk about cricket, and I'll just sit there listening. They seem to have a great time talking about it. So
yeah, I love, because I know enough about some sports to be able to like fake myself as like a true man. So like in like when people bring up football and stuff, I'm like, I don't watch football, but I know but I know enough about the teams to fake that I know football. So they're just like, "Oh, did you see that game?" I'm like, "Dude, fucking the Tigers, bro." And then you just walk away. And they're like, "Yeah." It's great.
A lot of the time as well, if you ask them about like their horror Uber stories, you just go, "Have you had any real bad Uber stories?"
Everyone has at least a couple.
There's one bloke told me about most of the time they're okay, especially even when they're really drunk, they're okay. They're just rowdy. You're just like, whatever, drop them off. That's fine. This one guy told me that he once took a bloke out to like Bai Wong or like
far.
He was in the city and he had to drive all the way out to Bai Wong, which at first the guy was like, "Sweet, that's all right." Because the big long trips make you the most money.
Big money, yeah.
And it's the most money without stopping. So you make it the most. Anyway, but as he got was getting out there, he was going down this like dark, secluded road with like no civilization. And the guy was like, oh yeah, it's just further up. And he basically was like, where the fuck are we? Am I gonna get murdered?
Yeah. What happened?
He was fine. Oh. I mean, obviously, it was in
what
the past.
What an anticlimactic story. Oh, I was what expecting did you, him to get killed, bro.
You know, he was just like, this guy just like looked a bit rough. Yeah. And he dropped him off in this really weird location. He was like really freaky.
I heard a story, something similar, but not like that. But he was this like new copper or whatever, a new police guy. Like he went on Tinder for the first time, met this chick up, and like he picked it up from her work after she finished work. And she's like, oh, let's go up to this place and we'll go have some drinks and we can just look at the stars. Takes her there. And on the way up, he sees like this blue van come towards him. And then obviously neither of them knew that he was a cop, right? But then he passes, go to this random secluded car park. And then that van comes back and then they both try to rob him. And he just pulls his gun on them. And he's like, nah, fuck you guys. And he handcuffs him.
Wow. But how lucky.
Dude, that was his first Tinder experience. I don't think he's ever going to do online dating again. Fuck that shit.
Wow. I wouldn't either.
Dude.
Actually, one of my clients, her husband's a Uber driver and he does it during the day. And one time he had this guy in the car and he was just having a good old chat and he started whinging about his work and the Uber driver goes, oh, what do you do? Then the guy realized that he works with his wife.
No way.
But he didn't say anything. And he's letting this guy have a full-on bitch about, you know, about everyone in the office and stuff. And then right at the end he goes, oh, yeah, by the way, my wife works with you.
And he's like, she's the biggest bitch of them all.
So I feel like, yeah, you got to be careful what you say sometimes because you never know. Because that's why I always ask Uber drivers. I'm like, do you do it full-time or do you have another job? Because I like to suss them out beforehand.
Especially in Canberra. Canberra's like everyone's Canberra's one degree of separation away. It's crazy.
100%. Well, now I'm going to start asking with Nozar. I'd be like, hey, do you ever get a guy just starting a random conversation with you?
They'd be like, oh my God, you know him
too. Do you know the freak that keeps sitting in the front seat won't fucking shut up?
Although, I will be fair. Sometimes, as Sean was saying, like sometimes I'm not in the mood for it.
Yeah.
And like I'll get an Uber and I'll sit in the back seat and I'll just go on my phone.
Sometimes.
I just won't talk.
Sometimes I will just give in and just have a conversation with him just because I would prefer to have a conversation rather than just sit there in awkwardness. Awkwardness is like my kryptonite. I can't deal with it at all. I need to fill awkward silences with things. So if I feel uncomfortable, I'll make sure I don't feel uncomfortable as fast as humanly possible. No matter
how. So you're saying when you get your hair cut, it's different though?
No, obviously when I'm sitting there and they start talking to me, I have to talk back. I'm not going to just sit there ignoring them. You know
what if they don't say a thing?
Oh, that's even better.
Say a thing, you just let the silence go.
Correct, yeah.
Unless it's getting your beard trim maybe, because then you can't really talk.
But I mean, usually if what I found about this, right? So if I go to a female hairdresser, 99% of the time they will talk to me, have some sort of small talk. But usually if I go to a barber with a guy, they kind of just get the point and they just cut my hair and then they're like, all right, cool. This is good. I'm like, yeah, it's good. You know how bros speak.
That's because you have mutual understanding. Yeah, see, I think us guys have mutual understanding. We just know, like, women might say the same, they might have their mutual understanding, but I think there's this, it's like a guy code without actually having one. You just know, you just got that look and go. Yeah,
okay. Like, this guy doesn't want to have to chat. I don't care about his day.
Sean.
Yeah.
Can you tell Tim and the audience, because I remember this was a great story, because I remember asking you, because you went to St. Eddie's, right?
Yes.
Oh, my cousins, just and, my cousin, nephews are going there now.
And from what I know of St. Eddie's, just from what I've heard, is that it can be a bit of a rough school at times.
I feel like it was a lot rougher back in the day, though. It seems a lot better now.
So can you tell our audience about what it was like going to St. Eddie's when all your mates found out you wanted to be a hairdresser?
It was actually quite funny, actually, because a lot of them, as soon as I did tell a lot of them, they were like, oh, he's got to be gay. Yeah. 100% he's gay. I knew it. I knew he was gay.
I knew it.
Blah, blah, blah. But one of my mates is like, nah, he's not. He's like, nah.
Not going to lie. Gay. I assumed, but then you said wife. I was like, oh, all right then.
It's fair enough. Look, it is more of a female dominant industry. Mm-hmm. But it's funny when my mates goes, nah, he's not gay. I'm telling you, go, you know what? He's going to be the luckiest bastard. Mm-hmm. He's going to be surrounded by all these women and he's going to have all these women you watch.
It's like the people that gave shit for male cheerleaders, but they're the ones that go on to camp and touch girls' asses by holding them up and stuff. It's just like,
exactly.
Come on, man.
You need to.
Well, look, I must admit, I have done fashion shows where I've actually had some other guys that were gay on the fashion show, and it's so funny that one of them actually said to me once, "What are you doing back here?" Because the girls are getting changed and whatever. I'm like, "Well, I am a hairdresser. Like, you know, it's still part of my job. I'm not here to perv. But yeah. I'm here. I'm doing a job." But it's like he was like, "You shouldn't be here because they were getting, you know, they were getting
changed and shit,
naked
yeah.
and whatever." And I'm like, "But I'm like." I don't look at it in that sense going, oh my God, she's
yeah,
naked.
I'm here to work. But I mean, what's the hairdresser doing backstage? I'm assuming at that point their hair's already cut. Hair. Right?
But yeah, I'm styling the hair. So
while they're getting changed.
Well, it's just, because sometimes you got to make sure that rushed. It's going to be funny. It's how they take the clothes off, which is, might sound funny because you got to be careful. It's like you don't want them to mess up what you've just created, because when you're doing like fashion shows, it is, and what you see on TV, it's so real. Like it is so quick. Yeah. You literally got like 10 seconds banked to make sure everything's fine. And we've got to be like, you're literally fighting each other. Like you're jumping over each other to make sure. Yep. Yeah, there's a little bit of hair out of place. You got to get there real quick. It's
yeah. That stress yeah, is not okay. I'm not okay with that kind of stress in my life.
it's something. Yeah. It is very stressful. I think it's worse than doing weddings, to be honest.
What made you sort of go into the field of hairdressing, especially coming from Eddie's? Obviously I'm assuming there's not that many that were like striving for that industry. So what drove you to
no,
it?
No, it definitely wasn't.
Yeah. What drove
you to be honest, I always loved fashion. Like I actually, before hairdressing, I was actually looking at doing like my own clothing brand or actually having a clothing shop, to be honest, at one stage. But when I was at school, it was funny. I was one of those, I guess we say one of those wog boys that would always be like, don't touch my hair. Don't touch my hair.
So
hair was everything.
So was
I was like, yeah. And even like when I went to the hairdressers, like if they didn't style it right, I'd go home and redo it. So, and it's funny, guys used to actually then, mates used to come and go, like, you know, especially the footy heads, they'd be smart asses and go, oh, don't touch my hair. And they'd go, hey, can you style my hair?
Yeah.
Like it was actually funny. So some of the footy boys that, you know, they're all macho, whatever, they're the ones who are like,
oh, they're the ones that care the most.
Yeah. And they're like, hey, do you want to give me a haircut?
Well,
and it's funny.
I feel like those kind of people, those like jock or whatever macho types, they want to look good. They want to be the best looking guys around. So like, they're like, oh, Sean, he's useful to me. Yeah. Oh, I like that guy, you know. You're able to slip into like that crew, you know. So,
well, it's funny. Well, there was one time, good old God coin day, where you got to wear, because obviously Eddie's had a uniform. So when we got to do the gold coin, you get to wear, you know, casual clothes. And one day I took the biggest risk of my life. And going to an all boys school, I wore a pink t-shirt. And you can imagine how that was going down.
I remember the first time I was.
This is when pink was only just coming in for guys.
Yep.
So all these footy heads were like, oh, you're wearing a pink t-shirt again. And they start the
cruises. So high school,
dude. But it was so funny. Then the next time round, so let's fast forward a few months later when there is gold coin day again, some of these guys wearing pink t-shirts.
Yeah, you're trendsetter. Trendsetter. Yeah,
and I was just like, and I just looked at him with a smile. I didn't say nothing. I was like, nah, you know, I'm not gonna drop to their level, but I'm just, you know, just having a good laugh. And you know, I love what they did. They just put their head down and came back.
Like high school drama was just like, oh, like why do people give a shit about this stuff? You know, when you look back on it, you're like, man, people made such a big deal over things that just were not important, like what you wore, what color shirt you wore. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Exactly. No, it's so funny how they've changed. But in regards to, like, even what I was saying, like the jockeys and stuff, now tradies. You go, obviously, you know, you go to a work site, everything's there, everyone's trying to be so macho. But they are, when they come to the salon, they're the most precious people about their hair, and they want exactly how they want it. They're more particular on how they have the hair than I would say someone like Zara, that, like, let's just say, or a public servant, actually, put it in that sense.
Yeah. So short back and side.
Yeah, because I feel like when I rock up, you're just like, oh, so what should we do today? And I'm like, I don't know, let's just try something else.
It's always the same.
And we're just like,
always ends up being the same.
No. I used to have it way shorter. We've been doing a lot longer on top recently. But this is only like maybe the last two or three cuts. But before it was like much shorter all around.
Yeah, because when I first met Zah, there was no way he was even going to go short on the sides. No. He was like just a little trim. fast forward to now, and he's been going zero fades. Yeah. He's become a new man. Like, it's like, who is this guy?
Yeah, when I remember when, like, I was sort of just starting to lose my hair, where I still had the hair on the top, but it was like thinning really hard. And really, the only way to hide it was to just go double zero on the sides, so it looks longer on the top, obviously. And then eventually, I was just like, oh no, it's time to just bite the bullet. The first time I shaved my head, I looked so bad.
So you're not going to go to Turkey and look at getting that hair
transplant? No, no. I mean, I think everyone goes, everyone that loses their hair goes through the, oh, what's the process? Like, what should I do? It takes a couple of years to come to terms with actually what's happening, right? Because like when I started thinning, and you yourself start noticing it first, you're like, oh no, what's going on here? And then when other people start noticing, that's when it gets real bad. You're like, fuck. So at the beginning, I thought about all doing all that. Like, I went to go see like Ashley Madison and all those hair places to see what the process was. But then I realized, I'm like, the only option I have is surgery that costs like fucking 16 grand or whatever for something that, I mean, they could fuck up. It might look bad. Or I could go the other route where I would just have to fucking take pills and rub shit on my head for the rest of my life. So I'm like, I'd rather just, you know, own it. And I would never, I always said to myself, because my family were telling me that I was going to lose my hair from fucking age 4. I always told me, I'm like, if I am ever holding on to my hair so much that I have to comb it over and shit, please just punch me in the face and tell me to shave it. Because I look at those videos and stuff and be like, how are your friends allowing you to walk out like that?
Well, think about all the famous actors that are bald, that are mad dogs, like Bruce Willis, Vin Diesel, can't think of any other one. Jason Statham. Yeah. Dude, they're badasses, dude. So
my mom, nothing wrong with people.
Yo, can you grow a pretty decent beard?
This is the best I've got so far. My cheeks are coming in. But when I could get from here to here, basically the first time I shaved my head off, I didn't have a beard, right? And then when I grew out the beard when I started in IT, that's when I shaved my head the second time, which made it look better. Yeah. So that's why I told my mom, I was like, oh, I'm never shaving my beard, because she kept asking me. She's like, why don't you shave your beard? I'm like, mom, I don't have hair now. I need my beard. I need to be able to grow some hair. And then I was like, only bald people with beards look good. Bald people without beards do not. And then she started naming all these fucking famous people like you just did. I'm like, mom, they're millionaires. Of course they're going to look good. They've got stylists and publicists.
He's always said, people that can grow a decent beard will lose their hair on top.
I wish.
And guys that don't grow beards, they'll keep their hair. But I always say, I get guys coming in, they freak out about their hairline. I'm like, it's not the hairline you have to worry about. It's the crown.
Yeah.
Once the crown starts thinning, then it's game over.
To be fair, I would have preferred to go bald from the back, because that then you can do more things with it. You still have fringe to like style and stuff. You can wear a hat and it can be still be seen. But no, I had the receding hairline that just literally, I lost it from the forehead back. And it was, you can't do anything. Once you don't have a fringe, literally all your options are gone. It's gone. It's fine.
Yeah, but see, I've had some guys losing it from the crown, and I don't know, I feel like you're basically doing the reverse of having the hair from the front. I think, yeah, if you're losing it from the crown,
you should definitely shave it. As soon as there's bald patches, just shave it. Just do yourself a favor and get rid of it. But
when you see your clients going bald, Sean, do you like shed a tear? Because you're like, they may not come to me anymore.
Yeah, and that's a hard conversation sometimes, because it's like, you got to tell people that they're like, because a lot of my male clients ask, you have to tell me when I'm going bald. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, I will. But sometimes it's like, you can build such a big relationship with people that when you know they've lost their hair,
they're like, goodbye. Like, they're like dead.
Now. I was there on your journey.
Is this the end, or can we do something that?
I think I've told this on the podcast before, but just before I came to terms of what was happening, and I didn't know what was happening, I had my hair down to here, right? I had about here, but I really wanted to grow it really long, right? So.
Yep.
I had it really long, but it was just full of split ends and it just was gross. So I went to the hairdressers. I was just like, hey, the plan is to grow it out really long, but I just want to clean it up so then it grows out healthier. And as she's cutting it, she's like, oh, you want to grow this out, huh? And I'm like, yeah, that's the plan. She's like, oh, okay. You sure that's a good idea? And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, oh, it's a bit thin. And she was like trying to subtly tell me. Wow. It got to the point where it was so thin that my hair was really long, but in the wind it would just stay up because it wasn't heavy enough to fall, So I just stayed up like this. I looked like a clown.
Well, as long as you look like Donald Trump. But
it was close to it.
Actually, I'll tell you, just wider. I can tell you a little secret about that.
All right, go on.
So what he did was he actually went to two different hair transplant places.
That's real hair? So I thought it was just a fucking wig, bro.
No, it's actually his real hair. But he went, because like you said, celebrities have got so much bloody money.
Yeah.
He went to two different places. And that's why the results of his hair is the way it is.
Oh, dude.
Because he's too impatient.
The fact that he thinks he looks good is blows my mind, dude. Someone that tan.
Oh, come on. He's the sexiest man
he's
alive.
He's so orange, man. I'm like, dude, you need to lay off that tan, man. Lay off that tan. It's not good for you. All right. Do you want to get a little bucket topics on?
All right. Yeah, Sean. So what we do is we have the bucket of mysteries.
Ooh. Okay.
And it's a bunch of different topics or prompts that hopefully spark an interesting conversation, maybe potentially a debate.
Debate's always
fun. You
never
know. And we'll go from there. So
Sounds good.
I'll read the first one. Dun, dun, dun.
Suspense.
Conspiracy theories. Discuss.
Just like any conspiracy theories?
Yeah, let's just like go through our favorite ones, go through ones that we think might be true, if any of you guys believe. But
I think
what's
my
our
favorite
opinion in general?
Well, I mean, my theory on conspiracy theories is they have to start from somewhere, right? Like the conspiracy theories start because there's some sort of logical argument that someone can make to rationalize their thinking. Otherwise, they wouldn't start from anywhere. Like the one that blows my mind is the flat earth theory, which I can't believe is like an actual real thing. Like I remember when
you
that first
believe the earth is flat.
No, because I'm have smarts. I'm not a dumb person. But do you see that documentary where they the flat earth has proved their own thing wrong? And I was like, you dumb fucking idiots. Why wouldn't you do that before, you know, filming it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like someone who believes this particular theory, someone with maybe a bit of influence and money, I think is how a lot of these can start, because there's someone with influence and money that develops a very professional looking study or something like that, or they can refer to a professional looking study, and they can share their beliefs with a broad audience that agree with them on a lot of things. And then it's just like a cascade effect of...
Well, yeah. The problem with human nature too is if you believe something, you want to seek out other people that believe that too to reinforce your own thoughts. So when there's like social media and stuff, like literally conspiracy theories can just go huge because there's just so many people. Yeah, that's true, man. Or they just click happy. Have you guys ever heard of Bob Lazar? No. So Bob Lazar is he's either a crazy person or a whistleblower. He worked at Area 51, right? And he claimed that he worked and reverse engineered an alien spacecraft, and like all these things. He's literally 30 years. He's been saying the exact same thing. And like some things have come out and like sort of been proven. Then like there was a point where they were just saying, no, he doesn't even exist, right? He never even worked here. But then he like literally has gone to the site, and he was like, there's videos of him going around talking to people. And like, so it's like, there's a lot of validity in his theories or his like what he says. Cause I'm like, if you are lying, right, there's no way you're going to hold on to that lie for like 35 years. Things will change. Like, it wouldn't be the exact same story.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Zar?
You reckon maybe people don't want to say that he really works here because they don't want to give away so much information.
Exactly.
Or just feel like, yeah.
Have you had any clients, Sean, that have come in and started talking about something along these lines and you've been like, oh, here we fucking go, this person is bloody hell. Have you had any of that?
In a way, I have. Like, you get some people like that. Yes.
Yeah.
I actually have. Yeah. And it's interesting. Like, and it's funny. It's especially when you get people that's like awkward, going, "Oh my god, this person's here. Like, do I have to say hello to them?" Or,
and like, I feel like with those kinds of people, from my experience, you don't want to get into a debate with them because they are so passionate about it that they will they will scream at you or they will bloody go on forever.
Yeah.
So
that's why we don't actually, it's funny enough, that's why we don't really talk about politics.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. Well, yeah. Especially when,
and actually that's the thing, we don't talk much about conspiracies. Actually, that's probably a subject that doesn't really get brought up much in a salon.
Good.
And like we say, politics does get brought up a little bit, but it's something that we don't try to bring up too much, because as you just said, it will start an argument.
Well, I remember right at the beginning of the pandemic, I went to go get a haircut when we were allowed to, and I sat down, and like the hairdresser immediately just started giving me like all this anti-vaxxer shit. And I was like, oh, lady, I don't care about this stuff. She's like, I went try to go to this place and they didn't let me because I wasn't wearing a mask. And I was like, lady, I don't care, just cut my hair. Like, and it was one of those things. I was like, oh mate, I don't want to have to listen to this face to face. Like, what do you want me to say? Because you can't sit there. Like, I felt like I couldn't, you know, be honest and say, you're a fucking idiot, just put a mask on, because I didn't want to have that awkwardness while she was still cutting my hair. If it was right at the end, I probably would have, but
I was going to say, you should have done it at the end, going, yeah, I'm going to give you my opinion. You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, dude.
And that's it. I'm not coming back. Thank you very much.
I don't understand this, like, defiance to wearing a mask. Like when I found out that there was a mandatory wearing mask outside, remember they had that in Canberra for a while.
Very, very.
My thought process was, oh, they want us to wear a mask, therefore I'll just wear a mask.
Yep.
Like, I'll just, that's okay. Like, that's fine. That's no big deal.
I feel like
it's
me and you, Zar, will always go down the chillest path. And like, because I mean, it means nothing to me. I couldn't give too fast. I honestly don't think the masks were doing much in regards to the overall situation, but like, I'll do it. You know what I mean? I don't care. I'll wear a mask.
It was doing 2%. I think it was covering maybe 2%, if I recall. Yeah. I mean, what it did. Look, I still get people today that come in the shop wearing a mask.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think that's just the aftermath of this pandemic. Because, you know, over in Japan and stuff, they always wore masks when they were sick. It's just common courtesy to, you know, try to keep your sickness contained. Where, you know, the Western culture is just rude. We don't give a fuck about that. We'll sneeze in your face.
But see, when you got a cold and you cough in your mask, do you change your mask straight away? Like, because... Like, I mean, where's to the degree of point where you got to change because of all your own germs?
I suppose
that mask.
I suppose it comes down to your personal preference. How much of a wet mask can you handle? But I mean, it's your germs. It's not like you're gonna get sick again.
the whole thing I find weird about it is like they feel like not wearing a mask is some sort of attack at their freedom.
It's entitlement. It's just entitlement.
It's like, what is this? Like, oh, I don't want to wear a mask. You can't make me.
But
like,
we can, though.
But like,
people
why
forgot,
are you being difficult?
Like, people forgot how the government difficult? Works. Like, during this point, they're just like, oh, I don't understand how the government works. They can't do things that I don't like, even though they do it every day. Like, there was this one chick that was just like, no, I do not consent to being arrested. I'm like, that's how arrest works. No one consents to being arrested. You
I know I murdered that guy, but I don't consent to going
consent
to jail.
To you taking me. I don't you are actually kidnapping me right now, you idiot. I'm going to personally sue you. Like, you
it's
just sound like a dumb idiot.
I was reading an interesting article about this whole sort of vaccine hesitancy, anti-vax stuff that's going on at the moment. And I was reading this article and it was about the same thing that occurred back in the 1920s or something when smallpox was a thing.
Okay. Smallpox is ages ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was late ages ago. So basically what
smallpox and the measles the same thing or are they different diseases?
No, they're different.
Okay. I wasn't sure
smallpox has been eradicated. Measles still exists. Okay. They're both viruses, I believe. But basically, back in the 20s or whenever smallpox was around, smallpox was obviously very, very serious.
Viola virus.
It was very serious, and they developed the vaccine for smallpox back in
the
20s.
How did they eradicate an entire virus, though?
I'll get to that, Tim.
Sorry,
let me finish my story.
So they
developed the vaccine. It was revolutionary. It was like, we've got this vaccine. We can get rid of this disease, we can cure people. And they had this like snippet from a newspaper from back then, and it had all these like theories about, oh, this vaccine was rushed, it's dangerous, it's more deadly than the virus. Like, and it was weird. It was like, oh wow, these are the
very
exact same arguments that the vaccine has the skeptics today, but it was interesting that the arguments haven't changed.
No.
And it's like things that science usually changes, its arguments change as they develop with more information. But it was interesting to me, and I, you know, it's just my opinion. It's like, I feel like because a lot of the time the evidence is a bit questionable with those sorts of beliefs, that the arguments stay the same and they can use the same arguments because it's a bit unclear. There's a lot of gray. Yeah. And it's hard to like actually disprove these things. So it's
and you can't argue with
that. That's 100 years ago. Like, yeah.
It was the same thing, you know, when like there was all that sort of Chinese hate when the virus first came out. Everyone was sort of being racist to Chinese people and stuff in the States, and so I'm assuming in Australia too. But like, and then there was all these. I saw this meme where it was just like no Chinese people welcome sign, basically on a business, and then it was counteracted with like no Jews welcome, no blacks allowed in here, and then every like couple of years it's just grown, but the race has changed. And you're like, how do humans just keep repeating the same issues over and over again? I'm like, mate, we would already be on like 4 different planets right now if we could just fucking get over ourselves and just come together, you know what I mean? We'd already have a moon base.
What's your favorite conspiracy, Sean, that you hear and you're just like, that is just ridiculous?
Oh, that's ridiculous. See, I actually believe in the conspiracy that there is other living being on another planet.
I believe that for sure.
So I believe that conspiracy, but a ridiculous one? I don't know. Like, because,
for instance, for me, I reckon it's the reptilian one that like all the most powerful people on Earth are actually reptilians.
Oh, dude, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Like,
that is ridiculous.
It's so funny. But do you know where that started? Because on some news anchor report or something, some chick's eyes looked like she did a double blink, like she blinked once and then blinked sideways. And so they just ran with it. They're like, everyone's reptilian. Mm. And then the QAnon shit where they think all like these giant movie and big figures in Hollywood are all pedophiles. You're like, what the fuck? Where do people come up with this shit? Like, they thought Tom Hanks was a fucking pedophile. Tom Hanks is a lovely person. He plays Woody. All right, I'll pick one now.
Oh, well, sure. You're going to get... Sorry.
No, I'm all good. I'm good to go.
Okay, cool.
I thought he answered. All right. Okay. Oh, what is a memory you would want to revisit? Would you change anything or would you do it the same? That's a good question. Fuck, I'm good at coming up with questions. So now, a memory in your past that you would really, really want to go revisit... A hard one.
So a memory that's happened?
Something that's already happened for you that has significance that you would want to go back and see it again. But would you want to go back to revisit and do it the exact same, or would you want to go back and change something to make it different?
I've got one, and it's a bit of a downer.
Okay, go on.
So I don't, if you guys
just
don't
say
mind.
Say it in a happy tone.
Well, it's just, it was just like a memory. It wasn't particularly one memory. It was just like a time of my life and many experiences that if I could go back and change how I, basically it was like during my high school phase of being like shy and awkward and being rejected by my group of friends and like the way I just kind of accepted it.
Yeah.
I wish I could. I would love to go back and revisit that and just see, hear what my thoughts were at the time, so I could try and understand the rationality behind it. Because I don't really understand it now. If that was me now, I'd be like, "Fuck you guys! I'm gonna go find some cool peeps. Let's go." You know. But like, then it wasn't so easy. So I think
if you could record your thoughts. And like, just go back and re-listen to some of the things that you thought about like 10 years ago. I reckon that'd be fascinating. Because you think you forget so quickly about what you think about. Like, it's so fleeting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you do. Like, you're right. Like, see, I'm thinking about all my memories and things like, would I go back and there is a few things I'd revisit. Like, for me, it would even go back when I was younger playing sports and go... have the confidence I do now. Yeah. I love my rugby league and I love my soccer. And I played both. And I think I definitely had more confidence in soccer than I did in the league. But I loved the league. And I go, if I could revisit that now, I would want to go in more confident and just give it a better go in a way. Like,
yep.
I think that would be my one. Like, it's, and even like what you were saying, Zara, like even getting rejected, like, I know I've, they're all the same as me. I'd be like, I'd probably revisit and go, have more confidence.
Don't
to
give
go,
a fuck.
Okay. Yeah.
See ya.
Rejected in the next one. But the rejection does hurt.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, even for people today, like, and it's that saying that everyone says, if only I know now what I knew back then.
Yeah, it's the age old saying.
And we say that to, and we've obviously been, I'm sure you both have been told that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we go now to the younger generation and say that, they're just like, yeah, okay, you're just old.
Yeah, exactly. It's, exactly. It's the exact same thing that we did. Like, we won't listen. People give you advice when you're older. Say, oh, you should save. Oh, you don't want to grow up too soon. Oh, you don't need to do that now. Like, trust me, enjoy all that stuff. And you're like, yeah, fuck you, I don't care. And then you get to that point, you're like, yeah, fuck. They were right, fuck.
They were right. I think I'm invincible, blah, blah, blah. Like, even for me now, like, being a dad, like, I start, like, my daughter's only, what, about to be two, but I start thinking of the future of her, and I'm like, man, I now know why my parents used to stress out about things. Like, when are you coming home for going out on a Saturday night or anything like that? I'm like, what's wrong with you? I'm fine. Relax.
It's
I'm
a
like,
constant worry.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, when you get, when they get their license for the first time, I'm going, don't worry, I'm invincible. Nothing's going to happen to me. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, shit, I have to worry about
I'm
this.
The one that, I'm the one that taught you how to drive, and I know you're terrible.
Might do a disc in my back if I do that.
I think what I would do, there was this, I remember there was this douchebag in college and high school. I won't say his name, but you know his name. So I'll tell you later. But he was just a prick, you know? He was one of those guys that was bullied people just because, you know, he thought he was better than them, right? But what was weird is I was friends with a lot of people he considered friends, but he thought I was beneath him, right? So he was confused why, like, his friends would talk to me. So I'd be in a circle, and he would just come in. He's like, "Why?" Like, completely ignore me. He's like, "Why are you talking to this guy?" Like, shit like that, you know what I mean? Like, little unnecessary fucking shit. And this was, like, from year 8 to year 12. It was constant. And I think I'd go back and just punch that guy in the face. Because I...
No, you know what it was? He was threatened by you.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Take it as a compliment.
I hated him so much that... But because I was... I don't know. I wasn't confident in my ability to win, but I was like, near the end, I was like, I don't care if I get bashed and die. I just want, I really, you know, when someone's just so annoying and then they just deserve a hit. Someone needs to hit them so they would stop, you know, not like obviously beat them up, but just like show that you are not going to take it anymore. And if they keep saying it, things are going to go down. That's I think that's so what I would do. End it early.
What would you do if you saw him now?
Now?
If you saw him now, let's just say you saw him down the street.
I'm a pretty nice person. So the thing is, I wouldn't acknowledge him unless he acknowledged me. It was one of the things
so if he came up to you and he goes, hey, Tim, how you doing?
I'd just be nice. Like, I'd say, hey.
And he apologized? Would you accept his apology?
Oh, of course. Like, of course. 100%. If someone apologizes to me, I'd be like, oh, okay. Well, especially if he did that unprompted, that would actually mean a lot. I'd be like, okay, cool, man. Because there was another guy that was also a bit douchey. But I met him a couple of years after school, and he was working at a bar, and we had a good catch-up. You know, I think after, like, age, like, 26 and stuff, or, like, 25, I mean, all that old shit, you just, like, why hold a grudge onto it?
There's something I've learned from getting older as well, is that to apologize to someone takes a lot of maturity, but also a lot of, know what the word is. Like, well, a lot of self-reflection, but maturity, and it... You have to not have ego. Like, your ego has to be removed from the situation, because if it's someone like you're talking about, Tim, I can imagine that in high school there's a lot of ego. Like, I need to be great. I need to be considered great. Like, and then apologizing can, especially for guys, I think you guys probably experience, seems weak. Guys don't want to seem weak or like soft,
especially when you don't need to apologize, you know what I mean? Like, because we're not in people's lives or anything. It's not like we have to deal with each other. If, like, he saw me and was just like, hey, I actually don't feel, I didn't like the way I was back in high school. And that's where, assuming that's where that comes from usually. It's just like, look, I was a cunt back then. And I knew I was a cunt to you. And they give you a sincere apology. I'm like, oh, good. Like, I would forgive anyone if they came up and apologized me for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you forgive but not forget, you know what I mean? One of those
things.
Yeah,
exactly.
Why hold on to grudges?
I think as well, like, I can't think of, like, the question's quite like, is there a memory you could go back and live? It's like, I find it very hard to, especially on the spot, to like think of specific memories.
Yeah.
But I can just remember like eras of time and like the... experiences and just sort of general themes of my life that I was going through. And it's really comes down to all these like social interactions I had. Yeah. And like, I would love to be able to go back and just like, you know, had more fun with other people younger and been more relaxed and been more happy with
who you are,
just not being too focused on what I was doing or what I was saying or who I was in the conversation, but just generally being present in that interaction and experiencing the conversation, experiencing the vibes and experiencing like the friendship or relationship that can grow from that. Because I feel like all those relationships were quite, I had my walls up all the time for him, and it was very hard, you know.
I think a lot of the relationships that we made in high school are very superficial friendships too, where you sort of, you're friends because you're around each other. Obviously, we're a little bit different because we're friends with a lot of our friends still, but like the ones that you meet at parties and stuff where you like get people on Facebook, but you know you're never going to talk to them again. Like those kind of friendships where I feel like I wish I would put more effort into those because they could have blossomed into more of an actual friendship.
I think it really depends on the person and the interaction, because I've met people at work or at, you know, things like that, that I've actually been like, wow, you're actually a really, really special person. I kind of want to have future conversations with you. Like that's occurred, you know.
What? I have a question for both of you. When you're meeting a new person, I think, Zah, we've mentioned this earlier, but when you're meeting a new person, what are some of the values you look into a person to know if you're going to like them or not?
Go on, Sean.
I go, well, so when I'm meeting someone new, personality, I have to start off with, it all comes down to how they start talking. Like, it honestly,
yeah, if it's the like first impression is a big
easy flow. Like an easy flow conversation. Yeah, I can tell. Like, I don't know. I can pick up someone if I'm going to get along with them within the first few minutes.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Mine is how they introduce themselves. Like, if they come up with it, like a smile on your face, they go to shake your hand. Like, they actually seem interested that you're there. Interested. You know what I mean? Yeah, like they're giving you a lot and then they don't really expect much. You know what I mean? Because, you know, when you meet someone new and then they're sort of just a little bit standoffish and you, me personally, I look into it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to put a lot of effort into, you know, getting down these people's walls and stuff like that. But when the people that are just, they're ready and they're happy to go, I love those kind of people.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something funny. One of my best mates, a really best mates, I didn't like him when I first met him.
Really?
I thought he was, I knew his partner. And every time I thought, I'm going to meet this, like, you know, get introduced, he would walk off and I thought, fuck, you're a rude prick.
Fucking
like, and it's funny, and every time like we've told people this story plenty of times, going, yeah, I didn't like him beginning because I thought he was a rude prick, but now we're the best of mates because I really got to know him, and it's just like he was, I know, a bit not socially awkward, but he was just like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, he probably just thought there's nothing here. Like Zah said, you know, you go to a party, for example, you see people, whatever. And like you said, Tim, where you add them on Facebook, but you might never talk to me yet. But with us, when we start to get to know each other, we actually had a lot of things in common. And one thing was that we're huge Raiders fans. And then we started seeing each other at the footy, and, you know, it started happening. We started seeing each other more and more. And it's like, okay, I judged him. I can say, you know, judging by his cover, but you know, he's probably just a bit shy, or like I said, didn't really think anything was going to go for you. So it's like, whatever. But then, spending more time together.
I made a terrible first impression for a very long time because me and Zah was super sarcastic and like more sarcastic than we are now, like triple up the fucking load.
Can I just interject quickly? Yeah, sorry. So, it's Sean, that's kind of funny because I feel like when I first met Tim, I didn't particularly
I was a prick.
Like him either, but it wasn't so much how he acted to me, but it was like that high school reputation that he'd built himself that I like jumped in on that. And like, I met Tim and I was like, oh yeah, he's a bit weird and a bit.
I forgot about that. You thought I was a psycho because of those fights.
A bit grumpy because the first thing I'd heard is he had a fight with this kid and I threw a chair at him or some shit like that. And I was like, well, that kid's a psycho.
You're right.
And then look where we are today, you know. Sorry, Tim.
I'm still a psycho. I mean, I just hide it better now.
Be careful, you might throw his chair.
But
because what I found was I'm very sarcastic, and like that's sort of how I think I've developed it enough now where people know I'm joking immediately, but I was very sarcastic where I was joking around with people, I would banter with people, and you know, you poke fun. But back in the day, I would do it so deadpan sometimes that people just thought I was a fucking douchebag because I'm just pointing out all these things, even though I'm 100% joking. But they didn't realize that. So then they would say, oh, dude, I thought you were a douchebag when I first met you. And then they realize after the second, third time that I'm always like that. I'm just joking. But dude, it was a rough time where I had to actually realize, I'm like, I should probably, you know, don't be so sarcastic when I first meet people. It doesn't end well.
So is anyone apart from Zara, like from school, that you would say that you didn't really talk to at school that you talk to a lot more now?
Yes, actually. Yeah. So one of our best mates named Whammy.
Well, I was about to say Whammy.
Sam. Whammy's the one. I went to primary school with him and he was in the year above me. And then he moved up to Townsville for like, I don't know, 8 years or something. And then he came back to our high school back in Canberra.
And he had to come to our
year. He was the year above and he repeated. And so we were in year 10 together. And he was mates with a few of my mates, but we never really, like, it's not like I didn't like him or we didn't like each other. We just
in different circles.
We just didn't chat. Yeah, we were just in different circles. We just never had really had a chat. And then post-school.
It was Robbie. Yeah, it was Robbie.
Yeah, Rob and Chewy. But post-school, probably like 2 years after year 12, so it would have been, 2013. So I was 20 at the time. I went to a festival with some of my mates and they were mates with Sam, and we went together and we knew each other. So we had a chat, and then I realized within probably 10 minutes, I was like, what the hell? This guy's mad. This is my kind of guy, you know? And we've just been like close mates ever since. So it happens, you know?
It's weird that so many of our group knew each other in primary school too. Like, cause you know, I mean, Luke and Moose were the first two people I met in Campbell High. And then I didn't really consider them, like, you know, close friends all through school at all. It wasn't until year 12 where me and Moose started becoming friends again. And then we started hanging out a little bit more. And then all of a sudden now, like, he's one of my best friends. And it's so weird when you think about, like, the start of that journey. You're like, fuck, man. Like, first day I sat next to you guys and now all of a sudden we're friends for life. It's so fucking weird.
So my dad said something to me when I was younger and I didn't believe him until now. And it's so true. This little saying he said to me goes, you can count your closest friends on one hand. Now, do you reckon you both would agree with that? Like, you both could go, if you think now, like, obviously we all got like friends, like I say, we've got a lot of friends, but I'm talking like tight friends that you would nearly say like your brothers, like, you know, like your best mate.
Yeah. To be honest, I think I would be two hands for me.
Yeah, mine would be two hands. Yeah.
Two hands?
Yeah. Our group's pretty big.
Yeah.
And because we've been friends for so long, like, even if you have fights and stuff, it's sort of like family, you know what I mean? It's never really going to fall out. It's one of those things. And just because you get it's harder because you can't really talk to all of those people. Like, it has sort of different inputs of chats, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But whenever we're all together, it's all great. You know,
wanted to go back to your question, Tim, about like what you look for in a person.
Values,
like,
yeah.
When you meet them. I agree with you. I think that them showing that interest, like, especially for someone like me, I think I've said this on the podcast before, I got a weird name.
Yeah.
So when I say my name to someone and I introduce myself, I get a range of different reactions. There's like one that's like the person hears my name, hears that it's weird, and then kind of just goes, okay, he's got a weird name. I'm just not going to even bother trying to remember it. And I can tell right away. I know the look when they're like, oh,
and yeah, fuck that.
Whatever. They're just like, oh, I'm just going to not bother.
He's just a male mermaid.
Then there's the other kind of people that are like, oh, what? Zariel? Oh, that's cool, man. What the hell? That's awesome. Where's that from? Ask me about it. And instantly I go, boom, it's my kind of person. They're already like showing interest. They're curious. They're like, where's that from? They've obviously been like, I want to know what that means, who this person is. And it's boom, instantly.
It also creates this conversation too.
Exactly.
Because like nothing's more annoying when everything's pushed on you. You know what I mean? You have to create the conversation. You have to keep it going. You mm-hmm. have to come up with all the segues. Like when mm-hmm. they do that, it shows straight away, oh, this is going to be a dual effort conversation.
Exactly.
Which is so much better. It's so tiring being the only one that can, you know.
The other thing I always do is that I try to test humor levels. Like I try to test what kind of humor someone has.
Are.
So I have a particular cheesy, goofy kind of humor, right? And mm-hmm. I'll kind of test it with that kind of humor. Maybe not even a joke, just like kind of be that like that and see how they react. And if it's someone I like, they'll understand right away. They'll laugh. They'll give it back. They'll say something goofy and cheesy. And then we start just having a laugh. And I think if we can get each other laughing in the first couple of minutes of speaking, we're on the right track. So yeah, I think for sure.
So I look at it and go as well, like you having a different name is a good talking point.
Yeah.
Like you said, like, you know, like that group of people going, oh, cool. It's so different. Like, where's it from? Like, sometimes I reckon it's cool. Like, I love when I get people with different names.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's cool. Like, tell me, like, how did it come about?
So having,
as long as it's not really weird.
Mm-hmm. Sean, so having a best friend of Zara, and my name being Tim, which is the most plain Jane name of all fucking time. Whenever we'd wingman each other at parties and we would use his name as a starting point because no one gave a fuck about it. I would introduce myself first. I'd be like, hey, I'm Tim. They'd be like, hey. And then Zara will come up. He's like, I'm Zara. And everyone in the circle would be like, Zara, well, that's amazing. And then I'm just like gone out of the conversation. So there was one party that we went to where I was just so over it. I was so done. I was like, I want to be cool. I want to be the cool one. So I just changed my name to fuck, what was it, Zara? I
forgot. Quinn,
that's right. Yeah, Quinn. So the entire night I was just introducing myself as Quinn. Zara was coming later though. So literally my whole group that we're with, we'll be like 6-7 people. They all were calling me Quinn and introducing me as Quinn. And I met these girls there and they knew me as Quinn. And Zara rocks up at like, I don't know, like 10:30, whatever, after work. And we're on the lawn and he's just like, he's like, hey Tim, and I'm just ignoring him because I don't want to blow my cover. And then the girls I'm with, they're like, oh, his name's Quinn, you fucking idiot. It was so fucking funny.
I was like, oh, sorry, he's your mate.
Motherfucker, I've been friends with him for 10 years, I know his fucking name, you idiot.
his code name's Quinn, but his real name's Tim.
Yeah, it was so funny.
But they acted so like, I think we know what his name is. I was like, oh, do you now know what his name is? Oh, I'm sorry.
He's going to look, do I have to pull out some identification to show you that his name is Tim?
Well, apparently I didn't know one of the people that lived there was also named Quinn by happenstance. I just picked a name of one of the people that lived there. So all these people thought I was the one that lived there because I was going around calling myself Quinn. So apparently this is what Zara told me. I didn't see this, but apparently he was looking across the room one point. There was one guy that was just really wanted my attention. He kept screaming. He's like, Quinn, Quinn, Quinn. But because it's not my name, I wasn't listening. So I was walking around. And then Zara just told me, he's like, oh yeah, this guy just looked real rejected and just walked away. Poor guy. I wonder what he's doing these days.
We got 2 minutes left. Do we want to have any final closing
final topics?
Yes. What have you thought so far, Sean? Have you enjoyed yourself?
Oh, this has been awesome. Look, and I'll definitely have to do this again sometime soon because this has been a lot of fun.
I appreciate you coming. We appreciate you coming on. Like, we just look for people that are going to have good chats, you know?
Yeah, look, I said I love having a good chat. I love having a bit of banter. Look, I can have conversations about anything.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Oh, no, it sucks. You don't have your camera. You can't show us your daughter. Oh. That would have been so cute.
Oh, true, for everyone to see.
I heard her in the background before. That That's was right. cute enough.
She has a famous voice now. All of our 9 listeners.
She's got a famous voice. Yeah, look, I've kept her distracted. Thank God the toast of Nutella worked.
Toast of Nutella always works.
Yeah, she's actually getting rich. This has worked out perfectly because she's getting ready for a nap. Right. So this has actually worked out perfectly.
Well,
she's.
Well, thanks for coming on, Sean.
No, my pleasure. Look, no, thank you for having me. Honestly, it's been an honor to be on.
And if you don't remember, it's Sean at Urban Hair Fishwick for Iron Knob Street, right?
6 of 24
Iron Knob Street Fishwick.
Last makes me laugh every time.
River, if you can't find me, I might be on the corner of Iron Knob, so just look out.
In Fishwick. It's dangerous. Oh, sorry, dangerous on the corner of Fishwick.
So if you want a good haircut, you want a good chat, you want a good banter, go Zariel, visit Sean.
Look at Zariel's face. If you want to look like Zariel, go to Sean.
Well, from this part up.
Just the quiff.
This was all grown naturally.
It's all natural, baby. All right, guys, all right. We might as well leave it there. We'll see you guys next week and stay average.
Stay average. Cheers.